Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg. All sports.
Got it inside. And five. Touchdown.
All the time. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
In the morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're talking about the controversy about high school hockey in Manitoba. If you want to get in on the conversation, 780-1290. We're also joined in studio by our new colleague here on Sports Radio 1290, Gary Lawless, best known from Hustler and Lawless and the Winnipeg Free Press. Gary, you came in with a bang here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you came in, we're getting heated up in the argument, and then in the commercial break,
this is a big issue.
We introduced each other, ourselves to each
I'm
other.
I'm punching above my weight here. I'm with, you know, I'm with the real heavy hitters of hockey talk in Winnipeg, so I needed to have my best.
Well, we appreciate you. Joining us this morning.
It's great.
You know, 780-1290 if you want to get in on the high school hockey debate.
Richie, yeah? And I'm presenting the position, and I'm explaining what, you know, the reasoning behind it. But let me say, you know, as Ezzy and I coaching, and we were saying off air, and I was telling Gary off air, I'm not saying I would do it.
No.
Likely, almost 100%, I wouldn't.
What are you talking about? If you wouldn't do it, how can you defend it?
Because I'm telling you the position that this coach had, and everything's different. His ethical levels are different than mine. I mean, first of all, we're trying to determine what's ethical, what's not, but it's subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's terrible. I can't believe he did it.
And I mean, and Ezzy and I coach, and we were talking about before, would I, you know, Gary and I were saying off air, I was saying to Gary, there's a culture of winning.
Think that you're going to convince your mom that you're right now, you're wrong. Your mom is listening.
She's already telling me right down the river.
She's ashamed of the boy she raised right
she
now.
She wants me to change
moment.
My name on air. Right?
I just think that even though me and Richie are the only ones that coach, I don't know if you coach Gary, but I think that regardless of that, if any of us coach, I don't think a situation like this would ever cross our minds. I just don't think any of us would ever pull our goalie. You know, when we're winning, it's to purposely lose the game to face a certain opponent in the future in the playoffs. I just don't think any of us would ever do that. We try to win every single game.
I think it's how they did it. That was their problem.
Right.
It's
they did it in a poor way.
If they told their best players, you know,
they
guys,
did it in an unethical way.
It's just, it was so
that's blatant. That's not right either, though. I know that's what I said, the optics, but I don't think that's right either.
I'm not saying it's right, but if nobody would know, it wouldn't be an issue. They'd be playing in the semifinals, and they might be beating College Jean Sauvé right now.
Let's talk return of the Jets. Enough of this.
Okay. Just before we close the subject, I don't even know the coach's name.
Neither do I.
And that's coaches. Good, because I don't want to, cast this guy as a villain.
Right.
He made a mistake, in our opinion, a mistake.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. Yeah, it was a high school hockey game, and it was a bad decision. Hopefully a decision made on the fly. Let's give the guy a break, hopefully he learns from it.
I'll tell you one thing.
That's what I mean.
They apparently had 500 people at the Oak Park Westwood game yesterday, so it drew some attention. And, I mean, 500 people is more than they had in Atlanta against the Sens on Thursday
My
night.
God, there was actually nobody there.
And Gary, I
saw some highlights.
I emailed Adam Wozni, obviously, who also works for the Free Press, and I'm not sure if he got the email or whatever. We wanted to have him on to follow up on this because obviously there is a little bit more to the story. A good interview would be to see what those coaches were really thinking.
Adam not only works at the Free Press, he also has among the very best sport blogs find anywhere.
The fourth star.com.
It's incredible. Yep. I'm not ashamed to say Adam is one of my dear friends, and we've worked together on and off in different capacities for a long time. Yep. Super talented guy, and you should have him as a guest because he'd be a good one.
Yep. Yeah, but let's get back to the Jets issue. I mean, spent 2 hours on it yesterday.
Yeah,
great program with Hustler, your debut here on the air. I mean, the phone lines, your guys' phone lines were ringing off the hook. It's obviously what everybody.
Yeah, Drew,
talking.
You called in.
Hey,
I just found out that you called in. I was listening to the first hour and 35 minutes, then I turned it off, and Drew's like, yeah, didn't you hear me on there?
I have the secret phone line, though. That's the answer there, Ezzy. I got the secret
You and
number.
Hustler have your own personal line.
That's right. Just, bat
the host line.
I bat signaled it out.
Hustler, I can guarantee you Hustler won't be calling in right now.
He's
not awake.
Yeah. You can't expect them to be up before 10:30.
When we started our show a long, long time ago on another FM station, it was, I think it was 9 to 12 on Saturday mornings. And
You know what we're going through right now.
Yeah. I don't know if you know what we were going through. There were some moments when we would call one another, hey, can you do the first hour of the show by yourself? I was just going to call if you could. So we suffered through a lot of moments together.
Well, there's a reason we call Richard Mr. Friday Night. And, he's such a trooper that he's able to still make it every day.
Yeah, he looks pretty good this morning. I think he had a rest
Richie is a man of the night, while me and Drew are usually in bed by 9:30 reading a novel.
I curl on Friday nights, Ezzy. I'm in bed by 11.
Oh, 11. Okay, that's nice.
All right, what do you want to know about the return of the NHL?
Well, it's just, you look at the situation. I mean, it's, the news has just been nonstop. But really, has there been any news? Has anything really happened?
Well, no. There's a little tidbit of news kind of every day. And, would you like us not to write about it and not talk about it?
No, obviously
not. The story has developed. And the news every day is the clock. The fact that, that the sale hasn't completed. And where's the news? Well, on Thursday, Mary Elaine Scruggs, got out her crying towel.
Yeah.
And, listen, I went to Glendale on December 14th, and I was there for
Did you meet little Logan?
No, I didn't meet him, but he was there, yeah. Anyways,
Little Logan's the official mascot of the Legal Curve.
By the way, I think follows little Logan on Twitter somehow.
Does he have a Twitter account?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Has there been a lot of news? Not so much. Although, Tim Campbell...
great piece today.
Yeah, uncovers a nugget that, I was aware that had been told that the NHL was trying, to actively help with these bonds. It appears it's more than that, to me, from reading Tim's piece, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly working the phones yesterday.
Yeah, it sounds like
calling guys, trying to get guys. So the bond is not going to sell institutionally. All right,
yeah. Right.
Like so, Merrill Lynch isn't going to buy a chunk of $30 million of this bond because it's too risky. So now they're looking for sharks. They're looking for guys with cash, big time investors that are willing to say, okay, I can put $20 million of that if it's going to pay me 8 points. I'm willing to take the risk on that. But however, at that high an interest rate, it only goes to strengthen the argument of the Goldwater Institute that the parking receipts, which is just laughable.
It's just so laughable, yeah. It's just
5,500, if you do the math on any kind of realistic scope, they've got 5,500 parking spots, 41, 42 dates. What are you going to get? Are you going to get $5 a stall?
Well, they're going to ask for more. But
it's free now.
Yeah. Exactly, and they're paying more for the parking than they're going to be for the tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm actually of the belief that a lot of what Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are doing now is for show, posturing.
Well, I don't believe that. I really, really believe they want to keep this team there. Because if they didn't want to keep the team there,
they'd be gone by now.
Honestly, because with every day that passes,
right,
they put True North Sports and Entertainment into a worse position
I was going to ask you, is there a drop dead?
There's no drop dead.
True North says, hey,
we need to have one. You know what I mean?
But for True North,
we want a team.
For True North, do they say, we can't get this team in May? How are we going to get this ready?
Well, they didn't like last year, I know, when that deal fell apart, there may have been 5 minutes of disappointment followed by, oh my God.
Thank God.
We don't, because what would they have to do?
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I'm wondering now.
So now it seems like they're in an even better position now. The press box is almost done. That people have had another year to really wrap their heads around. There's guys out there right now that have been sitting with their wives at the kitchen table for the last couple of weeks trying to convince her, no, we don't need a new minivan.
Max out that credit card.
No, we're not going to Mexico next year.
True. We're putting
4K down on a seat.
I sat there the other day with my friend for lunch talking about the numbers and how much it would cost for tickets.
Well, everybody's crunching the numbers. It's what you have to do. I mean, I think the difference... Sorry, Ezzy, go ahead. You're frantically motioning.
Gary, if the Phoenix Coyotes are bleeding money and it looks like the Goldwater Institute is ready to sue the city of Glendale if they're going to, offer these bonds to Matthew Holsizer, and if the entire city of Winnipeg and True North Sports and Entertainment is fiending for the return of the Jets... Why
is that a word?
Why would Gary Bettman want to keep this team in Phoenix?
Well, I guess a couple of reasons. It is a huge market. Okay, have they tapped it? No, but you're like a gold miner. Okay,
yeah, right.
And you're standing beside two mines.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them has been tapped a little bit, and it's going to produce, 30% year after year after year after year. This other one, you haven't figured out how to drill it yet.
Right.
But you know the mother load is in there.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but is there a mother load, though?
Well,
is it there? Well, the mother load is here, isn't it?
No. The mother load, listen, this market is not the mother
load.
Now,
let me ask you.
This is a nice, stable, safe market. Maybe you lose a couple million
revenue
in a terrible year. Maybe makes a couple million in a good year.
Okay.
This is not going to be, hey, listen, man, this is not going to be a cash cow.
But it's going to generate revenue, and it's not going to cost the current owners, the other 30 owners in the league, any cash,
which is, I think, something Phoenix right now because
they got a $25 million bribe.
When that money is gone, or you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the other owners don't care right now.
Yeah.
They're safe. They're covered. Until they're not covered anymore, this doesn't become an issue with the rest of them. You know, I pulled a couple other reporters who have connections to governors. This is hard for us to write this story.
So Gary Bettman has to think.
I don't have an NHL governor that I phone up. Right.
You know Gary Bettman has. So Gary Bettman still you believe at the back of his mind is still thinking, we can maybe turn this around 2 or 3 years down.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. They wouldn't be doing it. If they didn't think Phoenix could work in some way, listen, hockey works in San Jose.
Yep.
Hockey works in Los Angeles.
They turned around in Pittsburgh.
You know, Tampa. Pittsburgh is different. Yeah. Pittsburgh is a winter city.
Yeah. That's true. Hockey works in L.A., though, Gary, partially because they couple the Lakers tickets with
That's right. You have to buy a Lakers
similar to the Raptors with the Leafs, right?
Phoenix has major problems in where their rink is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
can't package Suns tickets with the American West.
Not at all. Like, and listen, Glendale is nowhere.
Yeah.
All right? Okay? It is not the Valley of the West. It is not Scottsdale. Glendale is a, I don't want to offend anyone, but it is, listen, it's nowhere.
You guys said yesterday, somebody was in Phoenix, one of your friends was in Phoenix, somebody knew was in Phoenix, and
they
said,
don't know about
Coyotes too, and I've heard that story many times.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you know where Kanata is compared to Ottawa, you know where the Scotiabank place is.
Suburb.
It's a 40-minute drive from downtown Ottawa in rush hour.
Yep.
If it wasn't in a Canadian city, and even then the Senators struggle for attendance when they're bad,
Gary might not know this, but you did live in Ottawa. Yeah, all of our listeners know that already, but
I try and mention it every week.
I went to university in Ottawa, so I know.
Okay.
You know the distance before traveling. So Gary, let me ask you this then. Atlanta.
Yeah.
1B, are they side by side? What's the story?
You know, if you listen to Scott Burnside from ESPN, who was on our show last night, and who is, say what you want, he has his connections.
Sure.
And he has in the NHL. He works for ESPN. Yeah. The NHL, it behooves them to talk to him, okay?
Yeah.
He's well-placed. He knows the score. And to hear him talk, you know, he continues to think that Phoenix will not work. However, all of a sudden, now you listen to what he's saying yesterday, Atlanta is in major peril.
Yeah.
Scott said yesterday a number of times Winnipeg will have a team this fall. I just don't know which team it will be.
Whoa.
I think it will be Atlanta. I don't think it'll be Phoenix. So 1A, 1B. Right now, Phoenix is the hot spot. And no one's talking about Atlanta until Phoenix gets solved.
That's true.
Gary, long term, what franchise do you think Winnipeggers should want to get?
Anyone they get their
hand. And you know, it's interesting. You mentioned about Burnside, because we had him on about 2-3 months ago. We had him on, and he was still sort of gung-ho about the Atlanta, and he's changed his tunes in that last 2-3 months. You know, right after we had
You have to change your tune, because the story changes every day.
Of course. And it's right now, I mean, I'd lie in any other way about Atlanta specifically. You'd just be looking, you'd be making up information if you said that everything was hunky-dory in Atlanta.
No,
I mean,
clearly Atlanta's in big-time trouble.
Of course.
No one goes to the games.
I mean, when Bill Daly came on here and could have walked around our question, and he didn't, and he boldly said, you know, Atlanta is a franchise that, you know, we have serious issues with. That's the sign where, well, if the deputy commissioner is saying so, then we got serious issues.
That quote gets fired around all over North America, by the way, guys.
Yeah. That was a great one.
I have your article on my fridge because you gave us the Illegal Curve Winnipeg Free Press mention. So thank you for that.
No, but my mention was a minor league mention compared to some of you've got. You've gotten them all over the place.
But we're in Winnipeg, and the reason why we have you on, and the reason why we have everybody on, is because obviously, just like everybody in Winnipeg, we want an NHL team back, and we want to have people on that are on top of the story, and you're on top of the story in Winnipeg, and that's why you and Hustler had the show yesterday, and that's why we have you on. We had you on today, or have you on.
It's a mutual appreciation society in the studio now.
No, does anyone know how to speak French? Because there's a quote in Le Soleil today. They refer to me as le journaliste tourne-tade. Something thundering? Is that how you say thundering?
I'd have to get my.
As he actually only
Petit
speaks
Robert,
French. When he,
French.
As he actually only speaks French.
French
when
immersion
drunk,
at Calvin.
And, as, yeah. the
and when I was
Quebec,
in Montreal,
the folks in Quebec City don't like me because I, you know,
because
I
you're saying it's Winnipeg.
What was the word Trinidad?
Yeah, something like that.
I just spoke
the
Spanish.
People Quebec,
yeah.
The people in Quebec. Look, I want Quebec City to get a, to get the other team here too. I have no problem with that.
The Islanders,
guys, you need to. They need to realize you need your arena first.
You need an owner.
Well, they're going to get.
They can play by
that
team. He's got no money into it. Everyone says that. He's constructed himself a sweet deal. Why do you think the mayor's making that noise right now?
Well, I mean,
they got problems there. They got stress.
Well,
they got nothing
of course,
done.
But the first thing you need there is an arena. Now, you're not going to get your arena with a moat that they initially wanted, but they'll still, they need their arena first, then the team will
but
have.
Drew, you're, the if house you're going to buy in 2 years is going to have a moat, though.
I wouldn't buy a house without a moat. You know, that'd just be foolish.
Okay. Right.
I have a black knight.
What's the caller want to know?
Okay, we'll go long here. We'll go long.
Yeah, we'll go long.
I think we got Gary on line one. How many Garys have been on the show? We got a Gary, another Gary,
there's
and a Jerry.
Is it
Gary Bettman?
Is this Gary with one R's or two? I need to know
Gary
that up front.
Gary Bettman calling in. Gary, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Gary?
Yeah. One R or two, Garys?
Gary Lawless.
No, you. One R or two?
It's amazing.
One R.
All right. Okay, fire away.
I have a question here because it really upsets me about this whole thing.
Oh, well.
Phoenix Coyotes are owned by the NHL, the governors.
Yeah.
The governors are not losing any money right now because there's some kind of a stupid bond.
No,
or something up front for their
team. The city of Glendale gave them $25 million to cover losses this year. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I'm the owner of the Atlanta team.
Okay.
I'm losing money left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Would I not want to move my team where I can make some form of money?
You signed a covenant when you bought your team that says you can't move your team for 7 years.
Okay.
And unless you declare bankruptcy, which puts all the rest of your fortune into peril, you do what Gary Bettman tells you to do.
Well, I think Gary Bettman has been a thorn in Winnipeg's side for many years because, you know what, I was on that Winnipeg Jets organization theme, and I'll tell you right now, we could have saved that team, but you know what, Gary Bettman pulled the plug on us, and I really don't like Gary Bettman, and I can tell you, there's a lot of people in this city that do not like him.
Yeah, you know what, Gary Bettman didn't prevent Winnipeg from having a team.
No, it's a misconception.
That's a misconception.
Gary, then maybe he should come on and straighten himself out then.
Well,
maybe he has.
You know, he's addressed that a number of times in a number of places, and frankly, it's old news to him. It was 15 years ago. He's talking about today,
but that's Gary Bettman.
Gary, thanks very much for the call.
Good call.
Yeah. You know, let me ask a quick question before we go to break here, guys. It's about the Atlanta Thrashers, and I think around the table we're all unanimous. We figure there's going to be an NHL team here coming in the fall.
I hope so.
Would it surprise anybody in this room to find out that the NHL has privately been running the Atlanta Thrashers organization, much like they were running the Coyotes when Jerry Moyes walked away from the deal?
No, that would shock me because this guy Michael Guerin has made some comments of recently that were not endorsed by the NHL, and they were in court, you know, up until just a little while ago. So to have to be before the court and not really own the team or not really be operating the team, I think you'd be putting yourself quite likely in some form of what's the word, perjury?
In terms of perjury?
Yeah. Well, if you say something in a court document, it would be.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's already, the court of public opinion, of course, in terms of the documents that have been released and what they've actually been saying is completely and totally, I mean, they haven't been doing it on the stand necessarily.
So anyways,
but
no, that would shock me.
That would shock you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, let me ask you the final question, then we'll let you go.
Your dog is in the car.
Yeah.
If that was, my wife knows that now, man.
Sorry.
You know what, Drew? Selling around.
What happened?
Tim, 7 second delays. 7 second
Gary,
delay.
Gary, welcome to my life of him
you
selling me out on the show.
Me.
I try and I forget I sell out Richard on a daily basis.
Yeah, but I'm not your bro. Like it's
not yet.
I think you're my bro.
I've known your red sweater, George Costanza, for 30 seconds.
The dot.
Hustler and Lawless has just become Drew and Lawless.
Hustler's the new host of our show. Gary.
Hustler, we'll take you, man.
You can't have Hustler.
Drew said it was, things unanimous. You said you're not so sure. We all, this is a question that's a common question, but in terms of percentages, what do you think it's at right now in terms of team for here in September?
Well, you know what, guys? That's so speculative. And Gary Bettman doesn't know that answer because right now he's working to keep the team in Phoenix. Okay? So if he can make that deal happen, that takes one franchise off the plate for us. Then he's going to turn to Atlanta, and they're going to work to keep Atlanta where it is. As hard as they've worked in Phoenix, absolutely not. No. So, you know, if you had, if I had, knowing what we think the NHL, you know, is thinking in terms of how do we save this and what do we do here, I would think the appetite to save Phoenix is 100%. The appetite to save Atlanta is 50%.
You're saying partly because of the private ownership, obviously, is a huge factor there.
I just think that that market's failed before. There's already all, as far as TV footprint, they're already all over the North, all over the Eastern Seaboard.
And the truth is that arena can be used for many other purposes.
That's for sure. Well, so can the one in Phoenix, by the way. All this talk that there'll be a
white elephant,
Crimea River, all these people that, you know, business is going to suffer. Well, the main tenant of the Winnipeg Arena left, and we went and got another tenant. And then without an NHL team, we built a new building and had another tenant in that. And it's one of the most successful buildings in North America.
Well, bring back the Phoenix Roadrunners. The Phoenix Roadrunners can go play
whatever.
There.
You can do, have roller derby, some kind of fake NASCAR. They can do something in that building.
WrestleMania. You're absolutely right. Gary Lawless, guys, let's go to break. We're way over time. When we come back, a quick segment, and we have our gambling expert coming up at 11 o'clock, Ari Bomcone. Gary Lawless, Hustler and Lawless, Winnipeg Free Press.
Thanks
for joining us in studio. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Winning.
Exactly. Lots of excitement in this studio. That was a boisterous 45 minutes or so.
Gary Lawless has now officially been on Illegal Curve.
And he's on a drug, and the drug's Gary Lawless.
Tell you what, Charlie Sheen has been nothing but just gold for everybody.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Is 2.5 Men done, or is it going to be back on the air?
It's done.
It's done?
Well,
for sure?
Unless he recuperates himself.
You understand what Charlie Sheen did that was so bad? He partied? He broke up with Denise Richards?
We got
a call on the line. We have a caller on the line, I believe. If we're not, are you ready there? I believe Maureen Pollock, Richard's mom, are you joining? Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Richard.
Now, you called during the last commercial break to say that you were disappointed in your son with his opinion about the hockey coaches. Can you sort of quickly give us your synopsis of that? That you're an educator. You know, how would you handle that as a situation?
Drew, I know my son well enough to know that he was doing his best O'Reilly imitation possible, and he was just trying to stir up some controversy and get the phone lines lighting up and get people calling in, because Richard would never condone that kind of behavior from a hockey coach. The coach, what he did was appalling. It was a Mussolini ends justify the means strategy, and there's no way that my son would ever go for that type of coaching strategy. And I know Richard was just trying to stir it up. I have a lot of faith in him, and I was appalled that he came out and said it, and then I realized why he was doing it, so I feel much better now.
Oh, Richard, yeah, you want to counter that at
that's
all?
That's all fair. That's all
that's
fair.
All fair? Okay. Well, Maureen, thanks very much for joining
thanks,
us.
Mom.
We appreciate that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's great. Your mom just dropped a Mussolini comment there.
That was amazing.
I don't know why you didn't ask Maureen to join us for Rapid Fire.
Is Remus going to cut up clips of my mom talking now and drop them in the next show?
I wouldn't expect anything different right now.
Currently working on it.
Yeah, he's actually cutting up the clips in the other room right now. That
he's
was
going
amazing.
Division by division, team by team.
Do you actually believe that, Richard?
Do I believe what?
Do you believe that, I mean, honestly?
No, I mean, again, Drew, I mean, I'm defending the guy's position and explaining, you know, how I feel about it in terms of you taking, you know, examining both sides. You know, again, would I do it personally? We were saying before, would I do it personally? No, I wouldn't do it personally, but it doesn't necessarily mean I can't, you know, present how the coach was thinking and at least give him some kind of defense, because nobody seems to be taking his side in the matter. And the biggest thing about coaching and playing hockey and everything is it's a culture, guys, and the culture is never accepting losing or never accepting that the opponent is better than you or can beat you or is going to beat you. And I think once you do that, you know, in this case he was doing that basically admitting they couldn't beat that team by not having to go through that team.
Guys, I'd just like to interrupt for 1 second. This just came through on Richard's BlackBerry. We have a special breaking news announcement. Richard Pollock is the new head coach of the Westwood Collegiate.
And on that note, let's go to break. When we come back, our Illegal Curve gambling expert, Ari Bomcone, is going to join us from
ABC.
Toronto. Exactly. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
You can never say it's not a family affair here. We now have Ezra's dad on the line to respond to Richard's mom. John Ginsberg, former university math professor, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to finally get on here with you guys, and I just wanted to say that Richard's mother is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and he is so lucky to have a mom like her, and I'm so glad to hear her on your show, and I think you three men are doing a wonderful job, but I think it's only fair for the public to understand that Richard's mom has a majority ownership in 1290, and that's what you three guys are doing on the air.
Yeah.
So aside from that,
a lot of people don't know that.
It's a wonderful show. Great to hear Lawless on there. And keep up the good work, boys.
Thanks very much, John. Take care.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. This is just chaos at this point in time.
Drew's dad would call in, but he's drunk.
He's not drunk.
My dad's not drunk, he's hungover.
Oh, good. That's good for clarifying that now. I believe now we're joined by our regular scheduled guest at this point in time, our good friend, our gambling expert here on Illegal Curve, Ari Baum-Cohn, formerly of Covers.com. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's a tough act to follow today. I mean, everyone's parents coming in and that spirited debate you guys had. I'm glad I could be a part of this great show.
Ari, before we begin, from all of us here, congratulations on your recent engagement. We're all very happy for you in that front.
Thank you. Hopefully my fiance is listening and my girlfriend isn't.
Well, that's the line of the night. That's definitely getting cut up into a segment. That's terrific. Ari, you're our the gambling expert here for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, formerly with Covers.com. Really the go-to guy as far as we're concerned when it comes to hockey odds and future betting and things of that nature. You know, now that the trade deadline has passed and sort of everybody is sort of settled into their rosters for the playoff stretch drive, what jumps out at you in terms of favorites, some dark horses, some long shots, things of that nature?
Right. Good question. I mean, the trade deadline, there wasn't very much going on. A lot of the moves were sort of made prior to the deadline. I'm sure you guys have discussed that at length. But one team that I wanted to focus on and talk about is a team that you guys mentioned earlier in the show, and this is the New Jersey Devils.
Go on.
The Devils, obviously, were, you know, a few months ago, 20-plus points out of the playoffs. And since then, they've gone on an incredible run, 19-2-2. And one of the things that I tell people when it comes to futures odds, and particularly NHL futures odds, is that it takes a while for the odds to change.
So you're saying that at the moment, their odds are paying what they were when they were, you know, at the bottom of the NHL standings, more or less.
Well, unfortunately, right now, the odds have adjusted, and the best odds that you can find on the Devils to win the Cup is 90-1.
Wow.
But as recently as a few weeks ago, they were 350-1.
Wow.
And earlier in the week, they were 230-1 at one site.
So it's worth noting that you're not saying to people to go out and you think the Devils are going to win the Cup, but you're saying that it's, you know, there is certainly value in a team like the Devils. Had you gone on them, have you, you know, really placed some money on them when they were at 300-1 or 230-1 earlier in the week? You think that is some decent value compared to how they've been playing lately?
Exactly. I mean, I think there's a less than 50% chance that they're going to even make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But that's right, Drew. When we're talking about value, if you could have gone to New Jersey a few days ago, even at 230-1, you'd be in good shape. And just before we sort of go off, stop talking about the Devils, let me just take you through their next six games.
Okay.
Sunday at New York Islanders. Tuesday at home to Ottawa.
Okay.
Friday at Atlanta.
Wow. 3 week teams.
Saturday. At home to the New York Islanders.
Wow. Four. Two
Tuesday,
out of four games against the Islanders.
At home against Atlanta.
Wow.
And Thursday at Ottawa.
Wow. So you play those two teams three times. Sorry, those three teams two times each, and those three teams are just terrible.
Can you bet on them winning six games in a row anywhere?
Well, you would just have to bet on them to win a game and then just
keep
take
rolling.
That money and keep rolling it over.
Ari, can you lend me $100 to put on the New Jersey Devils?
Well, as soon as you pay me back the $200 that you owe me already, I'd be happy to lend you another $100.
The truth is, I mean, you look at New Jersey, nine points out of the playoffs with two games in hand on the team. That's treading. If they conceivably were to win all six of those games, they would jump up into the 74-point range.
So still probably, I mean, if they were to win all those games, already, they'd still probably be 5-6 points out of the playoffs. But
those are certainly six winnable games.
It's very true. You don't always look at the schedule moving forward. Ari, in terms of the favorites in both conferences, is it Philly, Boston on one end and Vancouver, Detroit on the other, or are there some teams sneaking in there?
Well, I have a sort of a composite of odds from about 20 different odds makers, and they tell you the story of who the people who most of the time know what they're doing, who they think the best teams are. Vancouver is and Philadelphia are the clear favorites. Detroit is in there, and then after that, there's a bit of a drop off where you have Boston. And what's surprising to me is the fifth team. So the odds, the fifth lowest odds on a team to win the Cup are still on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Really?
What are your guys' thoughts on that? I mean,
I'm going to get into me that the value in there's a couple of teams I think that would be, a little bit underrated right now. I would say that probably Los Angeles to me would be one. Obviously, Chicago's is moving up would be two. And then Washington right now I think is a little bit undervalued. How did the numbers bear that out?
Well, interesting about Washington is most of the division races, the odds aren't interesting enough to talk about. But in the Southeast Division, the odds, at least at the one site that has posted odds, has basically a pick'em between Tampa Bay and Washington.
And Tampa has a one-point lead on them with one game in hand right now.
Right.
As it stands, yeah.
So if you were to put money down on one of those teams, who would you take?
Well, I think right now, I think with the moves they made and the expected correction of play with the Backstrom and Ovechkin and a couple of other Capitals, I would have to say right now that I think there'd be a little bit more value in the Washington Capitals. Although the Tampa Bay Lightning's numbers beneath the surface are strong indicators of some future success. But it just seems to me like the Capitals haven't really done much all year, and with their acquisitions to help their offense, which has been struggling, which was a need, adding some depth on defense, seems to me that this team is looking to make a little bit of a run here. Maybe a little bit, underneath all the headlines that they generally generate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ari, you have the preseason odds, and it's amazing how much can change from, say, the preseason to where we are.
It's always interesting.
65 games into the season now, and one of the divisions that really jumped out at you was the Pacific Division. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what they foresaw in the preseason and now what they're looking at in terms of division odds for the Pacific Division?
Sure. Well, at the beginning of the season, obviously, San Jose was the favorite. They were plus 125, which means that if you were to wager $100 on San Jose to win the division, you would get back your 100 plus another 125. There was one site, actually Los Angeles was an interesting team because they were right
up
there.
That's my Stanley Cup pick, Ari.
Well, I would be happy to lend you $100 to put some money down on them.
Okay, so now we're even. Somehow I'm up $400.
Go on, Ari, just ignore him.
Anyway, so Los Angeles was a team that basically had similar odds to San Jose, but one site had them at plus 375, and then the rest of the teams, Phoenix and Anaheim, were plus 1200, plus 1400, and Dallas, who had a commanding lead in the division for a good stretch, they were plus 2200, which means if you were to bet $1, you would win 22. It's about as big of a long shot as you can find on a team to win a division.
The only thing.
Can you get in there for a second? Can you look at long shots in this day and age with the amount of 3-point games that there are and every team being so close to, look at you talk about the Pacific Division there. Like, is there such thing as a long shot anymore?
Well, I mean, you look at the standings, particularly in the West, and you see how close teams are, but at the same time, you'll always sort of have your teams like the Islanders. Seem like they're ever going to make a run. Well, they have been playing better lately.
Ari, there's one team that we want to quickly ask you about, and then Richie's got another question for you. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 3 weeks ago they started dumping all of their players, and it looked like the Toronto Maple Leafs were going to slide down the standings. Now they've actually climbed the standings to a point where, they're not they're not likely to make the playoffs, but they're still mathematically in there. What would you advise people based on the odds that the Leafs had 3 weeks ago compared to where they're at now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And when you have sort of 20 sports books, 25 sports books that you're looking at that are offering NHL odds, some of them are, you know, obscure European books that don't really care about NHL hockey and don't update their odds as frequently as they should. So all it takes is one site to not update, and you have a team like the Leafs that have gone on a run and are in a position to make the playoffs, and they're available, I'm looking right now, at 300-1 to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, obviously, they're a long shot. 300-1 is a long shot, but if you're just a recreational, you know, better, mm-hmm. what's wrong with, hey, putting $10 down and all of a sudden you're, you know, $3,000 if the Leafs can somehow win the Cup?
On that last point, I know, on that point, our last question, if there's that one team, that one long shot, that people should go out there and just take a chance on, you know, with some possibility of actually winning and some value obviously involved in that, who would that team be for you?
Please say the Devils.
I mean, I would have said the Devils earlier in the week, and if, you know, they can win 6 out of 6 or 5 out of 6 and put themselves in a position where they're only a few points out of the playoffs and they're still available at 90-1, I would definitely say the Devils. Right now, they're not technically a long shot, but the Chicago Blackhawks, again, a team that you guys have talked about today on your show,
yep.
They've gone from, you know, being sort of on the outside of the playoff picture to they've won 7 or 8 games in a row.
Yep.
And they're still available at 28-1 to win the Stanley
Cup.
Wow.
It seems like there might be some value there in the boys from Chicago. Ari Bomb-Cohn, Illegal Curve's resident gambling expert, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take care, Ari. Take care.
Bye. All right.
Guys, let's go to break. When we come back, we still have lots of our favorite segments we haven't got to. Still, you know, 45 minutes to go. Lots to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:15 in the morning.
And Tim is drumming live in studio.
Yeah, Tim is drumming live in studio, and Mr. Friday Night himself, Richard Pollock.
How's it going over there, Mr. Friday Night?
Just asked us all if anybody had a BlackBerry charger because his BlackBerry died.
Rich, I don't have a cell phone, so I definitely don't have a BlackBerry charger.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to get a pay-as-you-go phone.
And what, they're rejecting your pay-as-you-go stuff?
I don't have enough credit.
You don't have enough credit?
Yeah, for a pay-as-you-go, so.
Really?
That's why Ari Bomb-Cohn is going to come through with that bridge financing. So I can bet $100 on the Devils and get a pay-as-you-go
phone.
Sounds like
a Ponzi scheme to me.
Yep. Well, my hockey pool for the last 10 years has been a Ponzi scheme.
Your comedy routine that our entire team saw talking about your investment in hockey cards.
Yeah.
It was a comedy routine?
And my most expensive card, which is a Teppo Newman and rookie card, which is worth $14.
Sell it as quickly as humanly possible. Anyways, it's time for news and notes.
NHL news and notes.
Let's start with the New York Islanders forward, Trevor Gillies. He played a solid minute and a half.
Biggest goon in the NHL since Sean Cronin?
No, I think he's bigger than Sean Cronin. I mean, he played a minute and a half. He came back. He was suspended for 9 games.
More penalty minutes than time on ice.
He played.
Yeah.
He played.
That's
nuts. He was suspended for 9 games for his hit on Eric Tangardi of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
He came back. He played a minute and a half, 3 shifts, a total of a minute and a half. He hit Cal Clutterbuck in the head with the exact same hit that put Tangardi out, and he's suspended for another 10 games.
Richie,
does this guy have a job?
Does this have anything to do with the fact that I was just praising Cal Clutterbuck in last week's 3 Things I Learned This Week, and Trevor Gillies is retaliating?
I think he's just a goon, guys, and that's what he's employed to do, and he has no discretion, and he can't control himself, and he probably doesn't belong in the National Hockey League. I mean, he doesn't belong in the National Hockey League skill-wise, but the league has always employed goons. But I hope, you know, there has been a little bit of an evolution of that type of player into becoming somewhat of a respectable hockey player and a fighter, and he's an old school guy in terms of he can fight and hardly play the game. You know, I mean, did they want to play an old school kind of hockey in the Islanders? Clearly. I mean, do they have enough talented players to ice the lineup? They have players that are more talented than him, but not much more talented than him. So.
And Richie, I think that
if a guy has more penalty minutes than he does have minutes on the ice in the course of a season, how can, I mean, it's mind-boggling, you know, it's mind-boggling that this guy has an NHL contract and has
it's
a
absurd.
Job. It's absolutely absurd.
Drew, he was coming off a 9-game suspension.
I know.
In his first game back.
And you give a guy a 2-game suspension.
He comes back. And are we just going to do our sound bites when we made the commercial? No, but Drew, he just came back from a 9-game suspension, and the NHL was already watching him, and he goes and does this to Cal Clutterbuck. I mean, the guy clearly is, you know, if he has a brain, he's only using 0.0007% of it.
Yeah. I don't give him too much time here, Drew. He's a fool, and he's
we're not spending 15 minutes on Trevor Gillies?
No, we're not. What do you think of that? Was the 10 games enough?
Yeah, I was fine with 10 games, Drew.
Well, he's never playing in the NHL again.
That's a stiff suspension.
Richie, do you think for a second that guy's ever going to play in the NHL again?
Oh, he'll play in the NHL again.
Think so?
How many more games do the Islanders have this year?
Yeah, I mean,
they probably have 14, 15 more games.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
It's funny, Trevor Gillies, Trevor Gillies has one of the greatest mustaches.
17 more games.
And he hit another guy with a good mustache.
He'll be back for
two good mustaches there.
That was a stash battle.
It was a stash war.
This is the most illegal thing I've seen!
What was that?
That's from the wrestling clip.
What wrestling clip?
The hypnotizing wrestling clip. Remus, Remus, who's usually running the R desk in the other room, he has a computer there that I can see as well, and he watched that clip on a Saturday morning at least 10 times in a row. He was hypnotized.
Most people don't know this. Richie has his own computer. Drew has two computers. Tim has a computer. Remus has a computer.
You have a typewriter.
I have nothing.
Doesn't even have a cell phone.
I print off a couple things. I have a sports almanac here. I have a cup of coffee.
Why do you have a sports almanac?
Why don't
I
get a computer?
Why do you have a sports almanac?
It's the hockey guide, so I can, you know, look up Cal Clutterbuck's penalty minute statistics.
Okay. Let's move on in news and notes.
You giddy up.
He's Drew, and he's awesome.
Some interesting deal happened between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Minnesota Wild. They made a trade after the NHL trade deadline. The Blue Jackets acquired Peter Kalus from the Wild.
For a bag of hockey pucks.
Yeah, well, he might be worth a bag of hockey pucks. That's legit. When's the last time you remember a post-deadline trade happening in the NHL?
Well, I mean, it's like in baseball when it happens and the guys, you know, can play to the end of the season but on the playoff roster. I mean, if they're traded now, who cares? I mean, don't even give it any time.
Okay.
I'm not talking about this.
Okay.
I think the guy has like 6 career NHL games under his belt, and he's 23 years old. I don't think he's spent most of his career
in Boston for a while.
He spent most of his career in the AHL.
Yeah. That's not.
Let's move on to Taylor Hall of the Edmonton Oilers.
This is the big one.
Okay. Got into a fight on Thursday night against Columbus.
And lost.
Injured. Well, whatever. Injured in the fight. High ankle sprain. Out for the rest of the year. Do you want Taylor Hall fighting?
You know, this is a hard. I don't want Taylor Hall fighting. I would tell him if I was his coach or general manager, I don't want him fighting under any circumstances. Now, I realize that there's a certain passion in the game, and you just get into it, and this is one of the spur of the moment kind of things. So, you know, I don't blame Taylor Hall at all, but I don't know. But I also don't know what the instructions have been from above. It's hard to tell a guy to not fight when you want him to play a certain style, and Taylor Hall's a very in-your-face kind of style. But if I'm the head coach and general manager at Edmonton, I say don't fight. At least don't fight. Until you learn how to fight, guys. He's 18 years old.
Exactly, Richie. If you're going to fight, and this is the thing I was going to bring up, Taylor Hall, I believe they said he had one fight when he played for the Windsor Spitfires. But
men.
But the issue is here is some guys who don't fight a lot know how to fight. It's clear here that he didn't know how to fight. So if you're a GM or a coach of this team, you have to tell Hall if you're going to drop the gloves. Maybe you want to scrap with Theo Peckham and maybe get a couple practice rounds in there or something. I don't know.
But in all honesty, I mean, he ended up hurting himself on an ankle problem. But the real risk there is breaking your hand like Chris Stewart did, guys. Look at Chris Stewart.
Right.
So look at his
and that's a bigger guy that's fought
and
before.
And that's just it. Exactly, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, yeah. I would instruct him to play. I mean, fight. I mean, Ginla fights. I'm sure that deep down
the
GM and coach don't want him to fight.
You're right.
We have a caller on the line. It's a fan of our show from Twitter. He's known as @GLiverpool96 on Twitter. His name is Greg. Greg, you want to talk about the Gillies Clutterbuck hit. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey now, Greg.
Nice to put voices to the tweets that I sent you about the Price is Right type of thing. So nice to hear that you're accepting calls and stuff.
Is the Price is Right here?
No.
Is the Price Right here?
No. The price is wrong on all accounts of all of you, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, let's hear.
Gillies was defending a player who got blindsided by a check from behind by Clutterbuck.
Yep.
Clutterbuck should be having an in-person suspension on this particular case, and I think that what he said, what Gillies said to the reporters of Newsday, was very, very accurate and should have been taken into account and consideration. Clutterbuck is no saint, by the way. Look how many. I advise you to see how many career penalty minutes that this Kyle Clutterbuck has to see what kind of history that he has, as well as suspensionary history. Furthermore, I said to people who were drinking the Kool-Aid, the people of Matthew Barnaby and Aaron Ward, who I will say is drinking too much Kool-Aid at this point, basically want to have the chair and the lock the doors and throw away the key type of thing. But if you condone hitting from behind is a legal tactic in hockey, then this is not hockey, and I think Clutterbuck should have been suspended for at least 10 to 12 games.
No.
And there's prior history of suspending people for doing malicious, vile hits from behind, such as this is bombing flashbacks to what Gary Suter did to Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, Greg. You know, it's an interesting point, and thanks for the call, by the way. And I'm going to address this. In terms of the hit initially, when I saw it, I thought to myself, very similar to what you thought. It was a hit from behind, and a hit from behind is legal. It can break a neck. It can be even worse than the concussion problems, or as bad. I'm not worse because the brain injury is terrible. So it can be about the same or not the same. But regardless, yeah, he went in there for a dirty hit, and then Gillies was behind him and defending a teammate. The concept and the idea that Gillies was defending a teammate, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was there at the right time. I thought Cal Clutterbuck let up before the hit, but it was dirty, but he let up. It could have been a lot worse. But in terms of Gillies, his intent was correct, but the way he went about it was wrong.
Yeah.
And he hit him up high with the elbows into the head. He could have just grabbed him. He could have turned around and just fought him. He could have done many. He could have taken many different tactics to addressing the issue. And I thought he addressed it wrong. And the truth is, Greg, is he has a bullseye on his back, and he has to know that.
Greg, thanks very much for the call. But I do agree with Greg's point in that if you compare, the first hit that Gillies got suspended for, that's the hit on Eric Tangardi,
right,
when he hit him.
Tangardi,
blatantly hit him with the elbow to the head, and then he stood over him as the guy was concussed.
Yeah, of course, agreed.
You know, that was worse. This one I can see sort of being in the heat of the moment. He sees Clutterbuck hit his teammate, and it sort of seemed like it was a bang bang play. Now, does Gillies have to be smarter about how he goes after Clutterbuck there? Of course.
Yeah.
He, you know, drop your gloves, fight him, get your five in a game, maybe. Don't drive the guy's head into the glass and
well, he was standing over him in the Islanders Pittsburgh game. He was standing over him from the gate.
Which was the ultimate in Bush League there. That's what that was. I mean, Gillies has to understand his reputation and what the NHL was looking for regarding him. But I thought this hit was not as bad as the first hit that got him suspended.
I know we're up against it here. I know we're going to break in a second here. But quickly, can we talk about the fact that the best part about the Charlie Sheen kind of meltdown this past week?
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Is Charlie Sheen on the line?
That just came out of nowhere.
Charlie, okay. Are you there?
Charlie, are you there?
Winning.
But the best part about the Charlie Sheen the meltdown, as we go to break, is the fact that Charlie Sheen has announced that they're doing Major League 3.
Oh. I'm excited for Major League 3. Who doesn't like Wild Thing?
No, the Wild Thing's back.
Yeah. No, that's going to be exciting.
Well, Pedro Serrano.
That's the best news ever.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
Winning.
Yeah. Those are all very winning things. On that note, that's going to break. We'll come back. What are we doing? More news and notes. Maybe some six things we learned this week.
That's right. Before you throw in a commercial, I got to say, this is, and I know Richie said, this is, I got to say, Richie's line, but this has been one of our best shows ever. This has been terrific. I'm having a great time. I'm going to be back next week.
I appreciate that. Can you wear pants next week?
I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back with pants.
Excellent. He's coming back with pants next week, folks.
Not shorts.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's been a hectic day in studio. In case you've missed any of it, you can go to iTunes and search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Download the podcast of this program. Of course, you can also follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, and you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. It's time for six things we learned this week.
Six things we learned this week.
Commence countdown. Six.
We're going to start with Mr. Friday Night himself, Richard Pollock. Richie, the first thing you learned this week is about the positive impact that Curtis Glencross has had on the Calgary Flames.
And I necessarily learned it this week. I've always been a fan of his game, but he's been a really, really, really big factor in their resurgence. I know they're trying to negotiate extension with him, and valuing him moving forward is going to be a difficult task because he brings so much to the table, but he also is, he's
at an age where you have to say, you know, is he going to be continue to play at this pace as he, you know, he's 27 years old. Well, is he going to get better? Is he going to get worse? Stay the same. Regardless, though, his speed, his ability to play in, you know, all situations. He doesn't have the best hands, but his hands are pretty good, and he creates for himself. He is really good on the forecheck, really, really good on the forecheck because of his speed. And Brent Sutter has shown a trust in him. And I think he's one of the guys. I mean, Edmonton regrets letting him go, that's for sure. He flourished on that Stortini line with Kyle Brodziak and Glenn Cross there. And he's going to get a nice contract after the season if it's not from Calgary, because he's a pending UFA. If it's not from Calgary, it's from somebody else. But for all that Daryl Sutter got criticized for, and he should have been criticized because he did a very poor job as a general manager there, his signing of Curtis Glencross, a $1.2 million deal, you know, for I think it was 3 or 4 years, I forget how many years it was a very, very, very shrewd move.
Sticking in Calgary, at the end of the regular season, Jerome McGinley should be given serious consideration for the Hart Trophy as the league's most valuable player.
Sticking with the Calgary Flames, if you've watched Jerome McGinley this year, you would know that he is the MVP of that team and has been the MVP of that team for probably, what, 11 years now? Iggy needs one more goal, and that will be his 10th,
it's been 30, that long since they traded
30 goal season. But, you know, let's be honest, Crosby, because he only played half of a year, he would have been the MVP. And I went on record as saying that Tim Thomas should also get an MVP nod. And it's going to be a good race, because you could make the argument that both Sedins might deserve a nod, and maybe even Lidstrom and
split the vote.
And St. Louis. but you know what? Jerome McGinley was, people were criticizing him and saying that the Flames should trade him. And now look what he's doing. I mean, he's got, I think he's at 65, 66 points now. You know, he's on pace for 77, 78 points or something like that. And, you know, he's been there. He is the heart and soul of that team, and I think he deserves an MVP nod. I really do.
I said it last night at curling to somebody. Imagine if this team had agreed to Daryl Sutter's request to fire Brent Sutter. Boy, did they make the right decision in that case on the Calgary Flames.
65 points in 67 games played, exceeding all expectations that everybody had of him.
Yeah.
Nothing in terms of the shooting percentage is actually lower than his career numbers. So, I mean, I was watching him. You watched a couple of Flames games this week, but that game against St. Louis,
he's still playing at his peak right now.
No, yeah, he is playing at his peak. His slap, his one-timer is, it's as good as it gets.
Yep.
Richard, Phil Kessel's hot streak is predictable given his career path.
You know what, Drew? You know, most scorers are streaky, and then like, you know, he's a streaky scorer. Most scorers are streaky, and he hadn't scored in 10 games. And, you know, it's funny. When he wasn't scoring, he wasn't doing anything. You know, he was, you know, Pierre Maguire and Gordon Miller talk about he wasn't doing this, and he wasn't doing that. And then now he's scoring, and he's doing this, and he's competing. It's, you know, no. In reality, not really. The puck's just going in now. He's playing better, and obviously confidence is a big factor there. Puck goes in a couple of times, you get confidence. But for all that's been said about Phil Kessel, and the trade wasn't a good trade, I don't believe. You know, if they make it in the playoffs here, it's going to look a lot better, because it's not going to be two top 10 picks. But the trade wasn't a great trade, and it wasn't a good trade. But having said that, I mean, it shouldn't be held against Phil Kessel. And I think it's nice to see a guy like him. You know, Brian Burke's been through a lot here too, guys, in terms of his son and everything. So it's nice to see things turning out for the both of them for the time being. And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I assume they're not going to. But he's got a lot of talent, and he's been through a lot too, Phil Kessel. I mean, he had testicular cancer, so a couple of guys have been through a lot.
That.
And it's nice to see them, you know, things going well for them. We always get, you know, people get down on them pretty easily. Let's give them props when props are due.
And right, Richie, Kessel went 15, 17 games, something like that, without scoring a goal. Who cares? I was just talking about Jerome McGinley. He's had many dry droughts.
Scores
over
droughts.
His career.
Scores
so good for him for picking it up.
Woo-hoo!
Three.
Ezzy, you're tired of hearing the same old excuses as why fans aren't spending money to buy tickets to National Hockey League games.
Right, and we had Gary Lawless on, and we were talking about the Phoenix Coyotes situation and the Atlanta Thrashers ownership situation. There's other teams that have had, you know, attendance issues. I think the Islanders had 7,100 fans at their last game. I've had enough of these excuses about why fans aren't going to these games. I realize that, you know, where the arena is has you know, somewhat of an impact. And I, you know, we hear that, you know, the arena in Glendale is a bit of a far drive. I mean, we were talking to Dave Manouk, who's been a contributor to LegalCurve.com, and he's been on this radio show. And he this is a direct quote from him. A fan is a fan is a fan. And if you're a fan of a hockey team, get in your car, drive an hour, go see the game. You can't keep making excuses as to why you're not supporting a team. I'm sorry, Phoenix. I realize that you've had ownership issues and your last owner went bankrupt. But your team is now in a playoff spot. find a way to support this team. If you want the team there, go buy tickets and sell out the arena. I'm tired of these excuses.
I disagree with you on this one, Ezzy. I think where there are fans, the fans are attending. There's just not enough of them. I think that's the issue. I mean,
so then move the team. You've had your chance.
That's fine.
You've been there for 15 years. You're averaging 11,000 fans.
No,
I'm sorry. You had your chance. Give us a team here. We'll support it.
There might be, in a city like Phoenix or in a city like Atlanta, there might be 2,000 or 3,000 hardcore fans who can't miss a game, and they go to every game and they drive and they have no problem.
Right.
But for casual fans, whose entertainment dollar could just as easily go to the theater or could just as easily go to comedy or just as easily go out to the movies, I can't fault them for not wanting to go.
That's it! Back to Winnipeg!
Two.
Richie, you find the acquisitions of Maxime Lapierre and Christopher Higgins to be overrated by the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I'm fine with the moves. I don't have a big problem with the moves. I mean, if I was a Canucks fan, happier than to address a defensive depth issue with another defenseman there. But in any event, I mean, they didn't, and so be it. Throughout the season, they didn't seem to address that issue. Adding Lapierre, I mean, Lapierre can do some work on the faceoffs, as we talked about, but his points production has trickled off. He doesn't kill penalties as much as he used to. He doesn't draw penalties as much as people think. I wrote about this for Hockey Prospectus. I mean, a lot of the things that he is known to do doesn't really do as well as people think. Sure, he brings some skating and some physicality, but come on here. I mean, if you were to use a guy like, I'm not saying they play the same role, but if you were to use a guy like Cody Hodgson in a role as fourth line center and match up against other fourth lines and try and utilize that as an advantage, a slight advantage for a few minutes a game, I like that more so than throwing Lapierre in there. I think he's redundant on a team that already has, the truth is you have his little bit of faceoff acumen, but when it comes down to it, Ryan Kessler's taking your big draws on the right side.
And so is Mahotra.
And Mahotra on the other side, so I mean, you're not really using it in that regard. In terms of Chris Higgins, he's had a nice season, but he's been pretty bad the past few years. I find him to be really ineffective for stretches, and not just scoring, I'd say, in many respects. And guys like, Jeff Tambellini, guys like Mason Raymond, guys who play the wing,
Rafi
Torres, guys like
scorers.
That, I mean, if they're not better, they're as good, and I just think it's a redundant addition.
And what we said on Monday when we were on for 5 hours, me and Richie both agreed that one or both of those guys might be healthy scratches in the playoffs.
Ezzy, the final thing you learned this week, the trade deadline, although exciting for fans, is slightly overrated.
Yeah, I think that these moves, I mean, when you build an NHL team, and we talk about this as far as the management side, when you build a team through the draft and signings, and trade deadlines are making, the trade deadline moves are really not, they're not going to really make or break a team season. And I think that when we're analyzing how these trades actually, are benefit a team in the long term, we're not going to know. We're not going to know in the long term, just like I said. So, when you look at what moves teams made in the past, Detroit made no moves the year they won the playoffs in 2008.
The playoffs?
And then Pittsburgh, they picked up Bill Guerin, and that was a significant part of their cup run, but come on now. It was Crosby and Malkin. It was all about Crosby, Malkin, and the goaltending of Marc-Andre Fleury. So I think that, the trade deadline, hey, I love it as a hockey fan. I love covering it. But let's not overrate these moves, even if the team ends up winning the cup. I mean, let's say Vancouver wins, just for sake of argument, let's say Vancouver wins the cup, and Maxime Lapierre turns out to get 1 point. Are we going to say that that was a good move?
Or, playoffs.
Or is,
playoffs?
I mean, come on. I mean, how many times can I say I mean, by the way?
In that segment, a lot, apparently.
that's a Drewism.
That's a very Drewism.
You say I mean a lot. I think it's rubbing off on me.
I mean, come on, Drew.
I mean,
let's go to break. How about that? Let's go to break. When we come back, rapid fire, one final segment. Cheers and cheers still to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. In the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. And of course, if you missed any of this program,
rapid fire.
There you go. That's the name of the segment. The name of the segment is Rapid Fire. Let's start in Calgary. We seem to have been spending a lot of time in Calgary the last couple seconds.
Good rapid fire topics this week.
Yeah, well, that's because you made them. I appreciate that, Ezzy. Calgary Flames forward Brendan Morrison suffered a knee injury on Wednesday after he was pinned against the boards by Nicholas Chalmerson.
Aw, crap.
during a game against the Chicago Blackhawks. He is currently listed as day-to-day. Morrison has been centering the team's top line with Jerome McGinley and Alex Tange. He has 43 points in 66 games on the year. On a team in the midst of the Western Conference playoff race, do the Flames have enough depth at center to get through this injury and hold on to a playoff spot?
Richie?
It's an excellent question. I mean, this is such a completely unforeseen run to, you know, to the playoffs that, I mean, who would have thunk it? And
well, the truth is, I mean, Morrison would have a good year.
Right, they've played, well, Darryl Sutter, I guess, they've played two more games than basically everybody, if not, you know, if not three more games than some. At 77 points, hey, guys, it's a complete and total, it's complete and total guesswork. I'd put their odds at, I don't know what that, you know, that site, that sports club site has the odds. I would put their odds something probably like 57%.
Get out! So you're saying, you're betting on the Flames marginally.
I would say some of those teams are, I think Brent Sutter is coach of the year right now.
Eddie. Yeah,
and no, I agree with Richie too. The thing is, I want the Flames to make the playoffs. I'm not quite positively sure that they're going to get in there because they're competing with Nashville. And
there we go.
For one, Minnesota's still in it.
There we go. So the Flames' percent chance is 59%. So
well, only off by two. Pretty close there, Richie. Nicely done.
Did you just start a new website, Richie?
No.
Moving on in rapid fire, Chicago Blackhawks captain and Winnipeg native Jonathan Toews will be the official host of the Canadian Tour Players Cup, which takes place July 14th through 17th at Pine Ridge Golf Club. Two events carrying Toews' name will be held, including a charity tournament and a celebrity pro-am. Oh, boy. I never read this question until
now. Oh, this is a great question.
If a Legal Curve hockey show host, Drew Mindell...
You always used to have a slice. You've corrected for it, or did you change your swing?
I thought you had a hook, Drew. A duck hook.
Can I finish the question first?
Sure.
If a Legal Curve hockey show host, Drew Mindell, a known golfer, were to participate in the celebrity pro-am...
Known something.
What would he shoot?
I've seen you golf. You know, Drew's a good golfer. I'm going to say, based on that, I haven't played that. Have you ever
played...
You played Pine Ridge?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say that Drew would shoot... 87.
I'm saying 93.
I'd like to think I'm closer
to what have you shot? What have you shot at Pine Ridge?
I was close to where you were. The greens at Pine Ridge
but that's different
difficult.
Conditions if in this case, Drew. It wouldn't be hidden from the reds, you know.
And, you know, for those people...
It's not a long course. You play it from the tips. Not a long course at all.
And Drew, for the people that haven't golfed before or don't know what that means, I mean, 87 is... That's a hard golf course, and 87 is a good score. I would have trouble,
it's
you know...
It's a
I would have
score.
Trouble probably cracking 105.
Really? You're,
winning.
You're going at 105?
I'm not a very good golfer. I used to golf more, but now I'm usually high 90s. I have a terrible hook.
Really? You need to correct that hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to get golf lessons from my good friend Sean Coe at Toulon, but
nice course,
I have
Toulon.
To drive out there.
Toulon's a great course.
Do that.
I like that course too, but Pine Ridge, you know what? I go to the Players' Cup every year. It's a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
You go to the Players' Cup, you're a big community guy.
I am a community guy. I'm a stalwart of the community.
You're something.
Something great?
Something, all right.
All righty.
Next question.
Moving on. It was announced on Thursday that the Bakersfield Condors of the East Coast Hockey League will be holding a Charlie Sheen night next Saturday, March 12th. Plans for the special event include half-price admission for anyone who shows up dressed as a Sheen character, free entry to those with proof of a recent clean drug test.
That's the one I love.
This is actually amazing.
You love it because you'd fail, Alan. And a 2-for-1 Tiger Blood and 2-for-1 Tiger Blood Ices.
Winning.
What is that? What is that?
I guess it's like a
slurping. What's Tiger Blood? I don't get that. What is that?
He says he's injected with Tiger Blood.
Floyd Mayweather was loving that on Twitter.
The Condors team president has even invited Sheen himself to come to the game and has said that if anyone brings as much money as Sheen makes for one episode of 2.5
Men. $2 million, right?
Yeah, they can buy the team.
Winning.
The question is, do you think this will actually bring people out to see ECHL hockey?
No.
Yes, I do. I think it's a great promotion. I think people
will come to that game.
That's the question.
The question is ECHL hockey as a whole.
That's the question. It's for this one game.
Hey. Now, why are you interpreting your own question?
Richie, are you a lawyer?
Drew gets creative control here. You read the question, Drew gets to interpret it.
Thank you.
Quote Gary Lawless. Richie, are you're a lawyer, right?
I think it's a
best
great
question
idea.
Ever.
I think it's a tremendous idea. My question is, this is Bakersfield, California, right?
Yep.
Why is Bakersfield, California playing in something called the East Coast Hockey League?
It's a bit of a conundrum.
According to Kyle, they like to be known as the ECHL, not the East Coast Hockey League. That's why.
Well, they really need to change the name of the...
Well, it's like Kentucky Fried Chicken and KFC.
Right.
Yeah, but they changed that because of the fried word, not the Kentucky word.
Or McDonald's.
Regardless, it's still the same thing, Drew. Do you think KFC's still open?
Yeah.
You got that clip?
The second part of
bring
the,
your great
the,
hat.
The yeah, second part way. Of the question was, is this the greatest hockey promotion in NHL, or sorry, hockey history, and it definitely is.
Then we can do the, we're going streaking, we're talking about the Flames.
You're talking about clips for next week's
yeah,
show already?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. We're on the air. Hi, Michael.
We'll move on here. David Schultz of the Globe and Mail, as well as the Hockey News, has reported that four groups are interested in buying the Dallas Stars, but no offers have been made. Oil and gas man Douglas Miller, who almost purchased the team in 2002, is rumored to be interested, while Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban may be interested in a minority share to boost his ownership stake in the American Airlines arena. Is anyone ready for yet another lengthy ownership saga?
That is the most Drew question written by Ezra. Holy smokes. But in all honesty, I
think... Wow, that's... In a really disturbing way, that's a compliment.
Yeah, no, but the truth is, guys, I mean, you know, Cuban has basically expressed an interest in owning more of the American Airlines arena.
Yep, sure.
But doesn't really want the Stars. So obviously,
and he wants a minority stake.
You know, in overall scheme of things, as long as Dallas is an important market, and I really do, it's a big city. They've had a passion in hockey base before, especially at Reunion Arena. The team has fallen on hard times here and don't have an owner. But I think once they get straightened out, I'm actually looking forward to seeing who purchases the team, because I think there's money. Obviously, there's lots of money there. Somebody's going to buy this team. And if they can buy this team, then Joe Newman can have a platform to move forward and know what his salary structure is. I think this team can be very successful. I think it's a very important TV market and very important, you know, market in terms of selling tickets, too. I think this is something that I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. There's a resolution here in the near future, I believe, as opposed to in Atlanta and Phoenix, where I think it's a lost cause.
Right. And Dallas is a very... very, very good hockey market, and I think the Dallas fans and all of that deserve for this to, you know, I'm sure, you know, obviously there's like due diligence and it's a long process, but I think they deserve to know who their owner's going to be, and they deserve for this to basically this deal to happen quickly. And obviously Dallas is a huge market, and there's a lot of money there, and all these guys are legitimate. I don't think there's any red flags like there was with Ice Edge.
It's not like Hull size. You're putting up $20 million of your own money.
Are you surprised how long it's taken and how little chatter there's been about this?
I am, but generally there's little chatter. Something's going on behind the scenes, although maybe not. I mean, this is a weird situation, Drew. I agree. Why is somebody not bought it yet?
Why is nobody talking about it at all, really?
Except for Joe Newendyk, when he can't make a decision in terms of Brad Richards.
Obviously, when it affects your on-ice, but off-ice, it's not even being... there's no mention of it at all.
I think Mark Cuban would be good for the NHL.
Of course, he'd be great for the NHL, but apparently he had interest in Pittsburgh a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because he's from Pittsburgh.
That's right.
But he doesn't want this Dallas team.
Big Steelers fan.
Well, I mean, final question here in rapid fire. Earlier this week on Thursday night when the Maple Leafs played in Philadelphia... Dion Phaneuf during warm-up absolutely leveled his teammate in Mike Komisarek. If you haven't seen the highlight of it, I'm sure Remus will be able to put it up on illegalcurve.com. It was they were both skating through the neutral zone in the warm-up with their head down, and he just cleaned his clock. Was Dion Phaneuf's best hit of the season?
No. Didn't he have a really good hit on PK Subban?
No, Drew, he's had a couple ones, but yeah, I mean, I understand your point there. Can we have a little talk, though, in all honesty, about Dion Phaneuf improving his offensive game, 5 points in the last five games, stepping it up since Thomas Cabrelle, and the truth is his defense has always been his Achilles heel, so when he was not contributing offensively, he was really, really, really hurting that squad. But with his shot and his vision and talent, you know, he doesn't have the greatest vision, but with his physical talent and with his slap shot from the point, he can be a huge, he's a good first pass of the zone generally, he can be a huge asset to the Leafs moving forward, and I think that should be spoken about.
In all seriousness, though, Drew, I haven't seen the hit, so I can't make a comment on it, but Phaneuf has had some big-time hits in the past, dating back to his junior days, but I'll have to check it out. But
he absolutely, I mean, I'm surprised that Komisarek wasn't concussed on the hit, to be perfectly honest. It was that hard of a hit.
And Komisarek actually, Phaneuf gives a couple pounds and a couple inches to Komisarek. Yeah. Komisarek's a big boy.
Guys, we didn't get to this during the course of the show, but I think it's worth noting. Bob Probert, the study of his brain, showed that he had the same symptoms that many of the NFL players have had, where they have brain damage because of all the hits and concussions they suffered in the course of their career. It's unfortunate we didn't get to it during the course of the show. Just quickly,
a comment
about that, and really, how does it affect your thinking of the game?
It's an unfortunate reality, Drew, and it needs to be studied more, and we need to know more about it. It needs to be given the attention that it's been getting recently, and players need to, you know, need to new helmets. We need reforms in terms of equipment. There's a lot of things that need to be done. You know, it can't be, we could discuss that for days, but, you know, it's unfortunate what's come about. But also, we need to learn from it, and it's terrible that we have to learn from these tragedies, but we have to learn from it, otherwise we're, you know, to ignore the past, this is just, we're going to repeat it in the future.
Yeah, there was a few articles written about it, one in the Globe and Mail, so hopefully we'll put that on illegalcurve.com, but check it out, and, you know, I believe that the degenerative brain disease was called CTE. And
that's right.
Obviously, you know, a quick cheer. I know that Cheers and Jeers
well,
is coming up.
Let's get to we'll get to Cheers and Jeers right now.
Cheers.
Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And Jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Ezzy.
I'm going to give my cheer to Bob Probert. You know, I read the article in the Globe and Mail. I forget the author's name. But, you know, Dani Probert is Bob Probert's wife. And she's interviewed in this article, obviously. And she said that when Bob Probert was watching a documentary about NFL players and how, you know, NFL players were beginning to donate their brains to science, he said that his last wish was that he wanted to donate his brain for the purposes of science. And, you know, that's something that he put a priority on, and it was something that his wife, you know, when he passed away, unfortunately, that was one of the first things that she acted on. So good for him, because he is going to open the door for more research, and, you know, we're gonna finally find out how we can prevent concussions and deal with them so that, you know, early deaths don't happen in the future, really.
Richard, cheer or jeer?
I'm giving my cheer this week to Darren Ford. I mean, he's been championing this return of the Jets, and I've been with him in terms of that belief. But he's had his jet-o-meter on his site for, on jetsowner.com for, I don't know how long it's been now, but it's been years and years and years. And now TSN has a jet-meter on TSN. Let's just give credit where credit's due. This is a guy who's had it for the beginning, always been championing the cause and reporting the news, and suddenly they swoop in there. I feel like he should be given
kudos to Darren Ford.
Credit.
He started this website in 2003, and Darren Ford was on Hustler and Lawless's show yesterday.
Yeah.
And he deserved to be on the show, and he was championing the, you know, the return of the Jets, you know, when a lot of people thought it was a pipe dream and it might actually happen.
I was
so good
him.
For him.
I'm going to wrap up Cheers and Jeers this week by cheering Phil Kessel of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He donated money, his own money, out of his pocket to the Brendan Burke Foundation. Brendan Burke is, of course, the son of Brian Burke, who passed away last year. And Phil Kessel donated some of his own money to that. So he definitely gets a cheer for the classy move that is. That is it for this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank yous to Jesse Rogers of ESPNChicago.com. Big thank you to Tom Gulitti of the Bergen Record. Big thank you to Gary Lawless of Hustler and Lawless and the Winnipeg Free Press. Big thank you to our resident gambling expert, Ari Baum-Cohn. In case you missed any of the show and you want to catch whatever you missed, you can search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. It'll be up there later on this afternoon, and you can download the show at that point. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. For Michael Remus, for producer Tim, for Richard Pogg, and for Ezra Ginsberg-Rumendel. And until next Saturday morning, good night and good luck. Winning.